scripture lesson for today comes from 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And I want to read to you from, I believe this is the New Revised Standard Version. "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
How many of you remember this commercial? So there was Michael Jordan and Larry Bird, and they're hanging out in the gym, right? And he opens up, Michael opens up his lunch, right? And it's the Big Mac and fries, right? Larry decides he's going to shoot him for it, right? They're going to shoot for it. They're going to play horse. And the commercial goes that they continue to do even more outlandish shots the whole time, right? And culminating eventually where they're shooting off the top of like a really tall building, okay? And then later versions of the commercial, right, they bounce the ball off of Grimace's head and things like that, right? But it's always nothing but net, okay? And the idea being that neither one of them could miss, right? So, and I want to talk to you a little bit about that. So when I was growing up in the 80s, being a young man from North Carolina, obviously, and being a Tar Heel fan, I obviously was a Michael Jordan fan. But then again, so was pretty much everybody, right? Because he became, in the 80s, a figure that transcended something like sports, right? He became an aspirational figure, right? We had commercials where people sang about how much they wanted to be like who? They wanted to be like Mike, right? In fact, that's why I wore the red shoes, right? To this day, when I was out at the store and I saw, you know, red Nikes, I said, "Ooh, I want some of those," right? Now, thankfully, they were on clearance, but, you know, I said, "I've got to have me some shoes that make me think of his, you know, shoes back when he played for the Bulls," right? And people would make their decisions. I can remember that Michael Jordan, the basketball player, was the most popular boys, some of the girls, Halloween costume when I was growing up, right? There were many years where somebody would show up and they would be, you know, it was easy, right? You just needed a jersey and a basketball. But also, they chose that because they wanted to be someone who could fly through the air, right? We wanted to be someone who could do things that ordinary humans can't do, right? Who could jump through the air and dunk a basketball while sticking their tongue out, right? Right? Who could do amazing things and seem to be indomitable, right? Couldn't be stopped. And there's all this kind of like mythology that springs up around great athletes, and Michael Jordan is no exception, right? Who do, when you talk about, say, for example, LeBron James, who do they always compare him to? Michael Jordan. Who did they compare Kobe Bryant to? Yeah. Who are they going to compare the next person to? Michael Jordan, right? Because he had this era of inevitability. The idea that if you put someone or a team or a person in front of him, he was going to win, right? And there's something about that that we like, right? We like somebody who has that supreme confidence. Now, if any of you watched the 30 for 30 on Michael Jordan, or anybody watched that? What was it called? The Last Dance? You probably learned some interesting things about Michael Jordan, some that were positive, some that not so positive, right? That along with that sort of competitiveness comes sort of an abrasiveness that can be off-putting, right? That you may not have wanted to be on his team, much less play against him, because he had such exacting standards. But the reason I bring up Michael Jordan is that one thing I always wanted to be like Mike. When I was out playing in the driveway, or shooting basketball at the church, who was I pretending to be when I shot my shots? I was pretending to be Michael Jordan, right? I wouldn't go pretend to be some backup, right? I wanted to be the guy, the GOAT, right? And so I would pretend to do my fadeaways and things like that, and I always wanted to be tall enough and athletic enough to dunk a basketball pretty soon I realized I was never going to get above 5'11", and I was always going to be a short, slow white dude who wasn't going to be dunking basketballs. And reality came in that I was much better at talking and playing an instrument than I was at sports. And so this is the real world, right? The real world is where you discover that there are certain things you're just not good at. And that even though your parents tell you you can be anything you want to be, it wasn't quite true. I couldn't be the NBA scoring champion, right? It just wasn't going to happen, okay? And so in real life, we discover that there are certain people who can do certain things better than we can. And so we have this scripture. John is talking to the church, and he's kind of giving... I always feel like 1 John, 2 John, all those are like almost farewell messages to the church that is growing and changing. And he's trying to impart to that early church, what do you need to know in order to follow Christ? And so he's talking about, you know, what does it mean to be a follower of Christ, right? And one of the early church's biggest problems was, as time went by, they all believed early on that Jesus was going to return soon, right? Not like the people on Facebook talk about, like, oh, well, because you're not using cash money, this, that, and the other. Not that kind of thing. Not like conspiracy theories, but like they believed that because of some things Jesus said, that he was going to come in their lifetime, right? Like, soon enough that they might just not bother with getting married. Don't worry about having kids because Jesus is coming and there's no point in it, right? Paul even says that, okay? And then people started to die. And the people who were in the early church passed away. And the disciples were martyred, and more people died. And pretty soon they're starting to think, wait a minute, either they didn't get into the new kingdom, or Jesus meant something different, or maybe we were wrong, and they start to panic. Paul addresses that in 1 Thessalonians, and John, I think, is addressing that here. He says, see what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children. And the reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. Don't be upset if the world doesn't get it. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. So the people in the early church are worried. What's going to happen? How is it going to be? Are we going to make it into the new kingdom? Do the people who have died get left out? And John says, look, you are children of God now. This isn't something that happens after you die. This isn't something that happens once you've reached a magical level of being able to follow Jesus the right way, or when you've ticked off enough boxes. You are a child of God right now in this life, in this body. First of all, that's something I need to hear, right? That I don't have to be the one who can soar through the air with the greatest of ease. I don't have to be the one who can bounce the ball off the wall and off the backboard and nothing but net. But that's not what Christ is looking for. But instead, Christ is looking for me, as I am, loved and beloved. What we will be has not yet been revealed. But what we do know is this. When he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. So back to Michael Jordan. In The Last Dance, one of the things that stuck to me the most is that people who talked about Michael said, the thing that made him special was not his athletic ability, because there's other people who have been more athletic. It wasn't his hard work, because there were eventually going to be people who worked harder. It wasn't this and it wasn't that. It was that he was fully present every time he took the court. That whatever he was doing, whether it was golfing for, you know, for bets, whether it was playing poker, whether it was on the basketball court, that he was 100% fully present. And that is what made him special, is that he wasn't thinking about what was going to happen after the game. He wasn't thinking about anything else. He was laser focused on the task at hand. To me, I think that that's what it means to be able to be following Christ as closely as possible. How often do we get wrapped up in all the other stuff that's around us? I know that I do. I find myself looking at my email on Friday and I realize, oh my goodness, there were 5 things I missed. Why did I miss those 5 things? Well, I missed them because I was thinking about, you know, what we were going to have for dinner. I was thinking about what we were going to do in the meeting at school the next day. I was thinking about what we were going to be doing on church on Sunday. And then there's 14 other things, and pretty soon I had forgotten the first thing. right? And for us to be like Christ means that we can be fully focused on God. Think about the image that we have of Jesus, right? The story that we have of Jesus. And that is that even though he knew he was headed for death, right? Even though he knew, like in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? We all know that story. He goes out a little bit past the disciples and he sits down to pray. And he prays, God, if it's your will, take this cup from me, right? Prays it three times. In the midst of all that swirling emotion, that fear, that pain, knowing that he's going to his death, he still says in the end, Father, not my will, but thine be done, right? That's being fully focused on who God is calling you to be, where you're called to be, doing what you're meant to be doing. This is how we can emulate Christ. I will never, and I've come to terms with this, I will never be able to dunk unless I'm on the kids' basketball hoop, okay? I'll never be able to dunk. I'll never do 360s. I'll never do all that amazing stuff. But I can be fully focused on God. I can give my obedience and my love and my faith and my trust to God. That's something I can do. And that the hope that we are given in 1 John is that we will someday see Christ, and that we will be like Christ. That all that those times when I failed Jesus, all those times when I have not reflected the light of God into the world, that those will be gone. That instead, all I will do is be like these folks that we're remembering today. All that I will do is shine with Christ's light within me and reflected on from me to everyone around me, right? Isn't that the image we get in Revelation of the throne room? And there's people from all ages and nations and creeds, and they're all gathered together in one place, and they're giving glory to the Lamb. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like. And that's scary, isn't it? To not know exactly what things are going to look like. But that's the world that we live in, right? How many of you knew what your marriage was going to look like when you first got married? How many of you knew what your kids were going to be like when you were holding them in your arms in the hospital room? You didn't know what they would grow up to do, how they would grow up to be, what their life would be like. And they're scared. It's a little scary. There's fear involved in that, isn't there? And yet, part of the joy is the journey, seeing the growth, seeing the change, being part of that. We are children of God right now. Loved in all of our strengths and our weaknesses and our foibles and our inabilities to do the things that we might want to do. And yet, we have the hope that someday we will see Christ as Christ is, and we will be like him. That's what Jacob and the two Roberts and Travis and Matthew and Bill and Caleb and Barry and Helen and Jeannie, they already know this. That's the joy that we get to celebrate today. They don't have the worry about not being able to measure up because they are like Christ. They don't only shine with reflected light, but they give off the light. What might it look like for us to live lives that are worthy of the example that these who we have memorialized today have given us? How might we shine? How might we show that we are Christ's, that we are God's children right now in this world? Whose lives might we change? Who might we be able to be an example to that when it comes our time to be on the table, that they can remember us with joy and know that we are seated watching the Father, watching Christ, being present in the room, so that someday we can be like him. Amen. We are going to participate in Holy Communion now because there's very few times that it's more appropriate to do Holy Communion than on All Saints. So when we have communion on a normal Sunday, when we're doing responsive readings and all that fun stuff, someday again, okay, there's a part in it where it says, let us raise our voices and join in the unending hymn, right? Let me see, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Well, that is traditionally the phrases, the hymn that the people in the throne room of God are singing, right? All those who have gone before us, that's what they're singing. They are a part of the celebration. And when we share in Holy Communion, whether it's with a common cup, whether it's with actual alcohol, or whether it's grape juice, or whether it's in little bitty cups like this, we are sharing in the same party that they're already at. We're taking this body and blood into ourselves, and we're being reminded that someday we'll be like Christ. That's our hope. That we may never be able to do whatever it is that we wanted to do when we were a kid, right? Maybe you had better, more realistic dreams than I did, okay? But we still know that we will get to be like Christ. And that's a wonderful thing.